Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the New Testament book of Luke. Now to Pastor Chris.
Luke 17 today on Through the Word, with some essential teachings from Jesus about the kingdom of God. So what is the kingdom of God anyway? Jesus talked about it all the time. Is it in heaven? Is it on earth? Is it now or is it in the future? These are some important questions. And if you want to understand the heart of Jesus' teaching, you have to understand the kingdom of God. But before we get to that, we've got some great lessons on faith, forgiveness, and the heart of a servant. We'll pick out a few highlights beginning at verse 3. Jesus says, "If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times comes back to you and says, 'I repent,' forgive him." Jesus' instruction here is pretty clear. Forgive. But forgiving is more difficult business than it sounds, especially when we're hurt more than once. But this is an essential for following Christ. It's a major part of laying down your life for him. So when someone hurts you, you should rebuke them. Don't just ignore it. Go tell them about what they did wrong, with the full intention that you will forgive them once they repent. That means they genuinely regret doing it. And how many times should you forgive them? As many times as they repent. Now, the next verse appears to be unrelated, but I think there may be a connection if we look closely. In verse 5, the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The request of the apostles is simple. They want more faith, to trust God more fully. But why ask here? I believe it may be that they realize that it takes faith in God to forgive your friend. It really does. So in verse 6, Jesus replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you." Now, this is a curious statement from Jesus, and I think there's more to it than face value. Does Jesus want us to have faith enough to tell mulberry trees to jump in the sea? He never did it. The disciples never did it. And why would you? In general, the miracles of God are not for showing off. So what's the message here? A closer look at the context and a little bit of Bible symbolism may help us a lot here. Now, in the context, Jesus just told us that we have to forgive. And as far as symbolism goes, mustard seed, of course, represents just a little bit of faith that can do a major work. And a mulberry tree is a tree known for its very deep roots, very hard to dig out. The book of Hebrews warns us against harboring a root of bitterness. And bitterness is what happens when you don't forgive. So moving the mulberry tree here could represent digging out old grudges from your heart. And where does the tree go? Into the sea, the very place that God says he casts your sins when you repent and are forgiven. So if you can't seem to forgive a friend, stop focusing on their sin and focus on your faith in God. Trust him to help you let it go. Next up in verse 7, we have a hard lesson in genuine servanthood. As Christians, we are called to live our lives as servants. Now, in the world's eyes, that's the lowest place and the last thing you want to be. But in the economy of God's kingdom, servant is the top spot. Jesus himself lived to serve others, and we follow his lead. In God's eyes, only a life lived for others has real meaning. That's the life of serving. Now, as a servant, attitude is everything. So Jesus tells a parable to help you check your heart to see if you've got the right attitude. In the story, a servant works out in the boss's fields all day. When he gets back to the house, he's not done serving. No dinner till he cooks and serves the boss first. Hey, that's his job description. And all of that without even so much as a thank you from the boss. But that's his job. And Jesus tells us that we need to do the same. At verse 10, he says, "So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" As we see here, the true test of a servant's heart is how you react when you are treated like a servant. Don't expect applause when you work hard to serve God and serve others. That's our duty. Now, don't misunderstand. God appreciates our service, and he pays very well in eternity. But Jesus wants to keep us from the very real danger of self-centered serving. That's pride. I don't serve to make me feel good or to make me look good. I serve to help others because God is good. Now, the next story is a powerful reminder of the importance of gratitude. 10 men with an awful skin condition called leprosy call out to Jesus begging for pity. Jesus does have pity on them. And in verse 14, "When he saw them, he said, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed." Notice that these men had to get up and start moving before they were healed. They obeyed and took steps of faith before healing came. All 10 were healed, but in verse 15, only one came back to thank Jesus. And then in verse 17, Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." So 9 men didn't even say thanks to Jesus. That's just not right. But how many times have we seen people caught in a bind and beg God for mercy, only to forget all about God when the rescue is over? But for these 9 lepers, did it make a difference? They were all still healed, no more leprosy. But I think the one who came back got something more. In verse 19, Jesus told him, "Your faith has made you whole." Or a literal translation reads, "Your faith has saved you." As I read it, 10 men received healing. Only the one who showed gratitude and set his faith in Jesus was saved for eternity. Then finally we get to the topic of the kingdom of God. In verse 20, Jesus answers a question about God's kingdom. Once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." So the question posed to Jesus is about when the kingdom of God will show up. The entire Bible is loaded with prophecies about the coming of God's kingdom. So, of course, people want to know when. This is what every believer is called to look forward to with great anticipation. See, the kingdom of God is one of the most important and most misunderstood topics in the Bible. The heart of Jesus' message to the people was always, "The kingdom of God is at hand." So what is the kingdom of God? Essentially, the kingdom of God is anywhere that God is king. Pretty simple, right? Yes, but there is some confusion over whether God's kingdom is a political thing or a personal thing. In other words, when God shows up to rule, will he show up in a castle to rule over the nations, or will he show up in my heart to rule me? The answer is both. But the order is key. In verse 21, Jesus tells the Pharisees to stop looking around them for the kingdom to show up and start looking at themselves. The heart of the issue is this. We can all look around and say, "God, the world is so messed up. Lord, come and fix it. Please reign over this world." But God is waiting for us to say, "God, I'm so messed up. Lord, come and fix me. Please reign in my heart." When Jesus reigns as king in your heart, then the kingdom of God has truly shown up in your life. So Jesus tells the Pharisees to make the kingdom a personal issue. Then he immediately pulls the disciples aside to tell them about that day in the future when the kingdom will be a worldwide issue. See, Jesus is coming back. He explains that in that day, what Jesus calls the days of the Son of Man, it won't be a one-location event, but like lightning all across the skies. That event is called the rapture, and all those on earth who serve God as king here and now will be taken up to their king. No warning, no last chance to think or decide. Jesus will gather his kingdom to himself. The heart of the lesson here in Luke 17 is what it takes to be part of that kingdom. If you are part of his kingdom now, if you serve Christ as king today, you will be part of his kingdom forever. The key is in verse 33. Whoever tries to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. Read Luke 17 today and make sure that the true king reigns in your heart, both now and forever.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free and free to share, so tell your friends and take the journey together. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries in Diamondhead, Mississippi. You can find information and links for all of our teachers on the website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.